Well, welcome everyone, and good morning. Good morning, good to see you all here. Thank you for joining us for our second last Sunday school. Wow. Almost towards the end of the year. And as I mentioned last Sunday, we've completed our studies on the book of 1 Peter. So, praise the Lord, that was a wonderful ending. And I hope, as some of you have maybe already read through 1 Peter through your Bible reading, you will, I hope it's an extra blessing to understand some of those verses a bit more. And I trust the Lord will speak to your heart through them. And as I mentioned on Sunday, for the last two Sunday school classes, welcome, good morning, we're going to look at some more parables. There are many more parables in the Bible, and so we need to make up some time to make sure we cover the main ones before the end of the year. So this morning you should have a sheet which says the lost sheep on top. Is that right? Okay. Excellent. Thank you, Brother Matt. So we're looking at the parable of the lost sheep there in Luke chapter number 15, if you'll join with me there. Luke chapter 15. Thank you for coming this morning. It's good to see a good group of young people for our Sunday school class. And praise the Lord for His work in our children's hearts. We'll pray for them in a moment. But let's look at Luke chapter 15, verses 1 to 7. Luke chapter 15, verses 1 to 7. The Bible says, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbours, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. Verse 7, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the blessing of being together as a local New Testament church in these last days. Thank you, Lord, that your work continues and that your word endures forever. Thank you, dear Lord, that your word is enduring this morning. We pray that your word would take root in our hearts and would bear fruit for your glory. Lord, help us to rejoice in your wonderful, everlasting love. Lord, I pray that as the children and teenagers sit under the teaching of your word, Lord, may you bless each teacher and may you give the children ears to hear and may they be saved in due time, Lord, we pray. Thank you for the precious ministries that are taking place this morning. Thank you for your goodness to us. Lord, we do pray that we would glorify you through our lives and in our hearts this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, in Luke chapter 14 and verse 25, notice what the Bible says there in verse 25 of chapter 14. The Lord was surrounded, literally surrounded by great multitudes of people, as usually he was. And many wanted to follow the Lord. Many wanted to trust the Lord. Many wanted to be his disciples. And the Lord said to the multitudes, look, you can't all be my disciples. You see, it's one thing to be saved. It's another to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, salvation is free for all, but discipleship comes at a cost. That's what we saw last Wednesday night, the marks of a true disciple in the parable of discipleship. Verse 35, at the end of verse 35, he says, "He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear." Now, among those, as we've seen this morning, who were listening to the Lord, who were surrounding the Lord, were publicans and sinners. Remember, publicans are who? Filthy, despised, wretched tax collectors. And you know, perhaps they don't have a much better reputation today either, the tax department. And although we wouldn't say such things about them, in the Roman times, they were more despised because many of them were literally cheats. There were Jewish tax collectors working for the Roman government, and they were cheating their own nation, their own people, out of their money for their own profit. So they were despised, they were looked down on, but they certainly, as wicked sinners, knew they needed a Saviour. So they gathered around the Lord. Then in verse 1 it says, and sinners too. But not only they were hearing with ears to hear, then there were the Pharisees and scribes. Now notice they were there, they were listening, but they didn't have ears to hear, did they? They were murmuring against Christ. They were looking for an accusation against Him. And I think about what the Lord said previously in chapter 14, for those of you who are here on Wednesday night, they may have been standing there thinking, who does this guy think he is? What right does he have to have such high expectations of his followers? Who does he think he is? Does he think he is God or some great religious leader that would say, if you're going to follow me, you need to love me more than anyone else in your family. You need to take up your cross and follow me. Who does he think he is? And they looked to accuse him of something. And so as they looked around, they looked at all the wicked people, the sinners, the publicans, and how the Lord was reaching out to them in love. And they said, look at him. He's a hypocrite. This man receiveth sinners. Notice what they said. I don't want to misquote it. Luke chapter 15. Notice in verse number 2, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Now, little did these Pharisees and scribes know, at this very moment, they were giving the Lord the greatest compliment that they ever would. Amen? This man receiveth sinners. How many of us know this morning, if the Lord Jesus Christ did not receive sinners, we would be in big trouble? Thank God he came to receive sinners. And isn't it ironic? In their murmuring, in their accusation, their own statement was a rebuke to themselves. Because that's why the Lord came. And they thought, these religious Jews thought that they were perfect, that they were righteous, that they were right with God. And so that's why the Lord went to teach the next three parables that we'll be looking at during the next few sessions. He went to teach them about the lost sheep. Then he went to teach them about the lost coin. Then he went to teach them about the lost son. Now, what is the one word that appears in all those different parables? The word lost. Amen? You see, what the Pharisees and the scribes didn't know, and what they couldn't comprehend, is that yes, God is a holy and just God, but in his justice and in his holiness, he loves sinners. He hates sin, but he loves sinners. That's what they could not comprehend, the love of God. And this is what these wonderful parables are all about. And I might say, for some of you here this morning, perhaps these are some of your favorites, aren't they? The lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost son, because they're so personal to us as Christians. Well, this morning we're going to look at the lost sheep. That was just a little introduction. Now, notice the first wonderful, encouraging thought here in the Word of God in this parable. Roman numeral number 1, Christ sees us. Christ sees us. So if you have a pen, your first blank is the word sees. S-E-E-S. Christ sees us. Now, notice as the Lord taught the parable, he gave a very familiar illustration of a shepherd and his sheep. People were familiar with a shepherd and the job and the role of a shepherd, being simple folk. We understand what a shepherd is today. And the Lord said in verse 4, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? So this shepherd here had 100 sheep, and he noticed that one was lost. One was missing. And he went after that one lost sheep. Now, it's not difficult for us to understand who the shepherd is. Now, who do you think he is? The Lord Jesus Christ. He is the great shepherd. Remember in John chapter 10, verse 11, what did the Lord say? I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. What's unique here, as we begin, is that this shepherd had 100 sheep. Now, what is one lost sheep compared to 99 that he still has? You know, the Lord was saying, which one of you would not go out? But let's say many people would not go out to find that one lost sheep. Because if you still have 99 left, is it worth the time? Is it worth the hassle? Is it worth the danger? Who knows where that lost sheep was? How far would the shepherd need to go? But this story is unique because Christ is making the point, isn't he? That one lost sheep, one lost soul is so precious to the Lord that he would do everything he can to save it. You see, that's what the Pharisees didn't understand. They didn't understand the depth of the love of God. And here is the great shepherd. The Lord saw that one was missing, didn't he? He saw the lost one. He saw where that one was. He saw where that one, what that one needed. And we are reminded this morning that the Lord also sees us. The Lord also sees us. He is our good shepherd. Notice in your notes, Isaiah 53, verse 6. Can you see that verse there this morning? Let's read it on two together. One, two. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. You see, the Bible describes the lost as sheep. Sheep that are lost. Sheep that have turned unto their own way. And that's a description of us as sinners. All of us have a sin nature, and we have all rebelled against God. We have all turned unto our own way. We are sinners. We are lost. The Bible says, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We are far from the Lord. We are separated by an eternity from God. We are lost. We are headed to a place of eternal torment, separated from God. But what I want us to notice in this parable, what is the wonderful truth that we can rejoice over? Well, it's this. In our lost condition, in our depraved, filthy, wicked, rebellious, lost condition, God sees us. The Lord Jesus Christ sees us. And by the way, when he looks down upon the earth, it's not that he just sees our sins. He sees beyond that, doesn't he? He sees a lost soul in need of a Savior. And he wants to be that Savior. You see, the Lord sees us. And ought that not to encourage our hearts? When he looks down upon us, he looks down upon us in love. Yes, he must judge sin, but in love, he took our judgment upon himself. Before he saved us, he saw us. He saw us. See, the Pharisees couldn't comprehend this kind of love. They couldn't understand this kind of love. And the Lord Jesus reached out to those around him in love. He wanted to rescue them from their sins. Luke 19:10 says, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. What an amazing thought. That God would see the sinner, and what kind of response would he have? Love. God will respond in love towards the sinner to save them. Let me ask you this morning, has there been a time in your life that you saw how great a sinner you were in God's eyes? I trust there was. I trust there was a time where you repented of your sins and you called out to the Lord Jesus Christ, who was right there all along to save you. Amen. You see, he saw us. He saw our need. And he came to seek us and to save us. Now, if you are saved, sometimes we forget the darkness we were in when we were lost, don't we? Sometimes we pretend that we've been saved all our life when it's just really been a couple of years. The reality is we forget so often the darkness we were in, the despair we were in, the hopelessness that we were in. We had no hope. Someone asked us, if you died today, would you be sure of a home in heaven? The answer would be no before we're saved. Hopelessness, despair, going to a funeral, worried, going to a doctor, fearful. Amen? You remember those times? And yet, in that despair, the Lord was looking down upon us in love. And by the way, let's make it personal this morning. When God looked down upon the earth, do you realize that He didn't see a mass of people in need of salvation? He saw the one. He saw you. He saw me. He saw everybody, but He sees the one. Amen? He sees the one. He loves the one. And as it has often been said, if you were the only person, the only sinner alive on planet Earth, the Lord Jesus Christ still would have come down to this wicked, sin-cursed world and died on the cross to pay for your sins. You see, Christ sees us. Christ sees us. What a wonderful truth. Amen. What a rebuke to these Pharisees that criticized the Lord. They had no comprehension of the depth, the length, amen, the height, the breadth of the love of God. And as we, if we are saved, as we look through these parables, our hearts should be overwhelmed at times, shouldn't it? At the great love of God. Because listen, if He saw us so lovingly before we were saved, how does He see us now? As His own children. Do you think God loves you when you're a Christian? Do you think God is involved in your life in every detail? Do you think He sees everything that's happening in your life right now? What do you think? Absolutely. If He saw us so intimately and lovingly before we were saved, what do you think He sees now? My friends, what an encouragement to us when we're discouraged, when we're down, when we think to ourselves at times, and I've been there, is the Lord even here? Does He even see what's happening to me? Does He know? Yes, He does. He is a loving shepherd who sees us. What an insight to the heart of God. Amen. Now, not only does He see us, even better, He seeks us. Roman numeral number 2. He seeks us. Now, if the Lord only saw us and did nothing about it, well, His love wouldn't be that great. Notice that He seeks us. He seeks us. Now, the parable tells us in verse 4 that the shepherd leaves the 99 in the wilderness and goes after that which is lost till he find it. And I want you to notice this morning, very simply, that this story is about the great shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, who seeks after the lost. So seeks after the one which is lost. You see, the shepherd left the comfort of the pastures of his sheep. He left the place of security. He left the place of familiarity to go into the wilderness. In fact, the book of Matthew tells us, when this parable is also explained in that book, sometimes they're repeated in different books of the Bible with different details, that the shepherd went into the mountains. That's why in our Sunday school lessons you'll see the flashcards, and there's a shepherd wandering through the mountains, climbing mountains, looking for that lost sheep. That sheep was really lost. You know, it wasn't just around the corner. The sheep went wandering off in its foolishness and rebellion. The sheep got stuck somewhere in the mountains, and in order to save that sheep, the shepherd needed to find. We're reminded this morning that it's not you and I that sought the Lord. It's the Lord that sought us. Remember, the book of Romans chapter 3 tells us that there is none that seeketh after God. Maybe you've read that before and said, hang on a second, I was seeking after God. Well, in reality, we weren't. The Lord was seeking after us. All our lives, He was seeking after us. Amen? When He came to this wicked, sin-cursed earth, He came to us. We didn't come to God. He came to us. And as we think about this shepherd seeking after the sheep, do you see the love of God? Can you compare the picture that we're given here to what Christ did? He came down to us. He left the beauty of heaven, the glories of heaven, the joy of heaven as the Son of God to come down to this wicked earth, to this dangerous place, this place of sin, this place of pain, this place of suffering. He was willing to give His life to rescue the sheep. The Lord Jesus Christ lived a sinless life, but He suffered, didn't He? He suffered in the flesh of a man. He suffered the pains of the cross. He suffered the humiliation of the cross. And the shepherd, who was innocent, suffered for that dumb sheep, that foolish sheep, that rebellious sheep. That's us. God is innocent. And He came to seek and to save and to suffer for the one which is lost. How great does God love us this morning? Well, I think His love is beyond what we understand, isn't it? Amen? His love is from everlasting to everlasting. His love has no limit. It has no end. What a compassionate, loving, tender Savior that we have. You know, as we read the Bible, such as this parable, we get to know more and more about how great His love is. Isn't that one of the precious things about the Bible? Spending time in His Word, that you read, wow, you know, God loves me much more than I understand. And God wants me to rejoice and to be thrilled and to be excited about His love, so that when a trial comes along, I can handle it in the right way, because I know His love hasn't changed. I know that He's allowed this in His will for my good. I know that His suffering in my life is for a purpose. And God wants us to never forget about the love of God. Now, is it true? We all, that includes me, we all can murmur at times, like the Pharisees. We can murmur. Why? Because we forget. Now, the Pharisees had no understanding, but sometimes we can lack understanding too. We can forget that our loving Savior is so loving, to say to Him or to feel towards Him that He doesn't love us is the greatest insult, a high-handed insult against a most loving God. We need to be careful, don't we? That we don't insult our wonderful Savior who loves us so much. And as the Pharisees rebuked the Lord, what was the Lord doing in these very instant? What was He doing? As He taught this parable, what was He saying? He's saying to the publicans and sinners, don't worry about them. Don't worry about them. I've come to save you. I love you. That's what He was saying to these sinners. This man receiveth and eateth with sinners. And the Lord said, absolutely. That's what I'm here for. And in fact, I'm going to do more than that. Much more than that. I am going to give my life to save one. If it be just one lost sheep, Christ would give His all. He seeks us, and lastly, amen, He saves us. He saves us. Notice verse number 5. Your blank is the word saves. The Bible says, and when He hath found it, He layeth it on His shoulders, rejoicing. Now, how many of you were saved and you rejoiced? Well, there's no such thing as not rejoicing when you're saved. But who's the one who's rejoicing here? It's the shepherd. Amen. The one who found us, the Lord Jesus Christ, He is rejoicing. And He will seek after the sheep till He finds us. Thank God He didn't stop. Amen. When we rejected Him the first time. I remember rejecting the Lord many times before I got saved. Thank God He didn't stop. Thank God He didn't get angry. Amen. Thank God He's long-suffering. Do you realize that when God saved us, He saved us tenderly? Amen. He didn't send a lightning bolt of wrath down upon our scalp and give us an electric shock, amen, and torture us in order to be saved. He didn't. He saved us lovingly. He saved us tenderly. He brought witnesses along our path. He brought the Word of God into our hearts. He did it lovingly and tenderly. I remember when I preached on Psalm 23 a little while ago, I shared this illustration with you. Let me share it again. It's a beautiful picture of how the Lord saved us. And it's from a book called A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. If you've ever read it, it's a wonderful description of the Lord and us as lost sheep. And it tells us about how the good shepherd looks after his sheep. Now, the author writes that the foolish little sheep wanders off into the wilderness, and often what will happen is the sheep lies down in its newly found green grass, which it thinks it's so nice and so lovely, and then lays on its side and becomes unbalanced. And it turns over with its legs up in the air. And that's what is described as being cast. The sheep is cast. It's on its back. It cannot turn itself over. It cannot save itself. And it's in great danger, not only because of the dangerous animals around it, the predators, but also the fact that its blood circulation is slowly being cut off. Wow, what a picture of us as lost sinners. You know, we're in great danger. We're headed to destruction. And the sheep is completely helpless and can only be saved by the loving, tender hand of his shepherd. Now, when the shepherd comes, he doesn't just jerk the sheep back onto its feet. Amen? Doesn't just jerk the sheep back onto its feet and sends her on her way. He carefully, lovingly turns that sheep over onto their stomach, gently lifts her up, massages her legs, and slowly helps her to get back on her feet. Now, if need be, the shepherd will pick that sheep up and carry it on its shoulders all the way home. Now, isn't that the picture we see here? Right here in the parable of the lost sheep. The shepherd picking that sheep up, carrying on its shoulders all the way home and rejoicing. Can you see the love of God this morning? Can you see the love of the Lord Jesus Christ this morning? What a picture. Notice the joy in our salvation. It's the Lord that is rejoicing. It's the Lord that is rejoicing. Now, what is the Lord's joy? Have you ever wondered? The Lord's joy is to do the will of the Father, but the Lord's joy in salvation is us. The Lord's joy in our salvation is us. He rejoices over one, the Bible says in verse 7, over one that repenteth. By the way, there's the way of salvation, amen? Repentance. How could you ever miss that? Repentance, amen? Turning from sin, admitting, yes, I'm stuck, amen? I've got my legs in the air. I'm doomed. I will die in this place where I am. And I cannot save myself. I need a Savior. Repenting from our rebellion and turning to Christ as Savior. Has there been a time that you did? And if you have, let me encourage you to rejoice in the Lord. Notice what Hebrews chapter 12 verse 2 says. Is that in your notes at the bottom? Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. Yeah. Notice this connection here in verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, notice this, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. So here we see when the shepherd picks up the sheep, what is he doing? He's rejoicing. What does the Bible tell us about Christ going to the cross? Who, for the joy that was set before him. What was this joy? His joy, the joy that kept him on that cross, the joy that took him to that cross, was you and I. He knew that souls would be saved. He knew that Huey Seaborn would be saved. He knew that Jeff would be saved. Amen? He knew that we would be saved. He knew. That was his joy. That was his rejoicing. That's why he went to the cross. And it's so important for us to remember that he sees us, he seeks us, and he saves us. Because as Hebrews chapter 12 tells us in closing, we can grow weary and faint in our minds, can't we? We can forget about the Lord. The overwhelming problems of this life can completely consume us where we no longer see the love of God as we once saw it. What do we need to do? Well, what does Hebrews chapter 12 tell us? Looking unto Jesus. The next verse tells us, consider him. Consider Him. Consider the Lord. When you are discouraged, when you are weary, when you are going to faint and fall over in the Christian race, let me encourage you to look to your great shepherd once again. Amen. Remember what we've learned this morning. The Lord loves you. The Lord loves us more than we can possibly comprehend. And Christ rejoices over one sinner that repented. Now, verse 7 is also a rebuke to the Pharisees because they believed that they were just and that they needed no repentance. The Lord said, I'm not rejoicing over you. You are religious. You are wicked sinners that don't even comprehend that you need a Savior. But this lost one over here, this sinner, this publican, this lost sheep, they know they need a Savior. And I have come to seek and to save that which was lost. What an amazing thought that even then, he too was not only reaching out to the sinners, the publicans, the tax collectors, but also those Pharisees and scribes. He was reaching out to them too in love. The Lord was saying, in summary, I see you, I am seeking you, and I want to save you. That's the love of the Lord. Let's love the Lord more. Amen. We love Him because He first loved us. As we grow in His love, as we spend time in the Word of God, we will love Him more. That's the natural result of understanding the love of God. Let me encourage you to spend time in His Word and to rejoice. Take some time this week to be overwhelmed by the love of God. Amen. That's the joy of the Christian life. I could say much more, but let's end. Let's close. Let's take these truths in our heart and rejoice in them together.